There's been a considerable turn and churn in Rajasthan's politics, especially Congress Party's politics. So why do we use expressions turn and churn both at the same time? Because at the end of the churn, something new comes out. And we don't know what will come out, but we have to think about it and we have to analyze it. Also, why did we say in Rajasthan politics, but especially the Congress? Because what is happening with the Congress in Rajasthan will also have impact in the larger politics of the state. And then it isn't just a state. Rajasthan is an important state. It's a medium-sized state, as I keep saying. All the states which send MPs between 20 to 39 to national parliament, Lok Sabha, are medium-sized states. So Rajasthan is a medium-sized state. You can call it a Gujarat-sized state or a Karnataka-sized state in terms of the number of MPs it sends. It's also a state that Narendra Modi had swept the last time, right? So these numbers are very crucial for Narendra Modi also, because these are the numbers he needs. He needs to sweep the state again to get his clear majority as he did the last time. Similarly for the Congress, if they want any seats in the Hindi heartland, last time they got effectively in the real heartland only a couple of seats, one in Madhya Pradesh, that is Kamal Nath's son, one in Uttar Pradesh, that is Sonia Gandhi. Then this is a state, because they rule this state, they have to somehow aim to get some seats here. Now, what has happened in Rajasthan? You've been reading the stories, you've been watching TV channels, you know that all of Gehlot's ministers resigned to begin with. This was a government that came into power in 2018 end, right? Because every time, about 6 months before the national election, we have these bellwether elections in Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh. Delhi also used to take place around then. But Delhi's pattern, that changed because Kejriwal had one short-lived government to begin with. Now, these three states give you an indication of the national mood. Not always a final indication, but some indication. And I must give you the health warning. 2003, the BJP swept all these states except Delhi. They swept Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh, right? And Congress incumbents, well-established, nicely dug in, they were thrown out and BJP swept these states. And that is what gave the BJP leadership then the impression that India was ready to give them a much larger majority. And that provoked them or inspired them or made them greedy enough to advance general elections by about 6 months to that summer. And that is the election that Vajpayee and his NDA lost by a very small margin. And these states then did not replicate for the Lok Sabha the results they had given the BJP or the victory they had given the BJP in the Vidhan Sabha election. So it's not as if once you win these states or you lose these states, you can presume that this will be replicated, but generally these are bellwether elections. Now, Ashok Gehlot has been chief minister in the past. Twice in the past, he was chief minister and he lost by a wide margin. Last defeat in 2013 was actually a very big defeat for the Congress Party. Also, the important thing in Rajasthan is that since 1993 was the last time when an incumbent was able to come back to power. And that incumbent was the formidable Bhano Singh Shekhawat ji, who later became Vice President of India. And among the most respected politicians of the Vajpayee era and respected across party lines. So he had come back in 93. Since then, no incumbent has come back. So Congress now also has the pressure to find a way of defying that trend and coming back to power. Otherwise, it's always one or the other. This is like it's been, say, in Kerala for a long time. This time, Pinarayi Vijayan bucked that trend. It's been like this in Punjab also for a very long time. So what's been happening in Rajasthan is that Congress narrowly won an election in 2018. There was an expectation that it'll do much better. The polls had said it'll do much better, but did not do that well. It narrowly won an election, leaving BJP a little behind, but itself fell marginally short of majority. Then thoda jod tod karke, you get a little bit from here, a little bit from there. Congress has a majority, but it's a wafer-thin majority. It's just the kind of situation where BJP would always see a chance, because BJP then has It's power of various kinds. It's power to give people jobs. It's power to give people positions in Delhi. See what they did in Madhya Pradesh with Jyotiraditya Sindhia. They would have tried to do this desperately with Sachin Pilot, and they have done it desperately with Sachin Pilot, hoping that he will also jump ship like Sindhia had done. Because at some point of time, people get impatient. Everybody is in politics for power. And you might say that you are young, and Sachin is young. He's 44 years old. But age is just a matter of how you look at your own experience and your own aspirations. So somebody might say, look, I am 44. By the time the next election takes place, I'll be 46. If I can be chief minister now, why should I wait 5 more years or 10 more years, right? Who has written where that you have to be 60 plus to become chief minister? That is the old law. Now the law has changed. Look at Yogi Adityanath. He'll be going for re-election when he would have barely turned 50. He's the youngest politician in India in a major state. So it is understandable if Sachin Pilot has been impatient. It is also understandable that BJP has reached out to him. It's also quite clear that he did not take that bait from the BJP. That's why the Congress has survived. And we know that about a year back, a big rebellion took place in Rajasthan. Sachin Pilot resigned both as Deputy Chief Minister and as PCC Chief, and 18 of his loyalist MLAs went away with him. Then they were sitting in a resort near Delhi, and everybody thought that now they are in the resort. It's a matter of time before Amit Shah gets them to jump ship. And also because central government has lots of other leverages, including the central agency, CBI, ED, this, that, etc., etc. Your cases can be filed, your cases can be withdrawn. You can join the BJP, that becomes a Ganga Snan. So all that was available. And you thought that with all that Sam Dam, Dand Bhed in play, Sachin Pilot will go away. But he did not go away. In the process, Congress government in Rajasthan has survived, whereas it did not survive in the neighboring Madhya Pradesh. That for the Congress has been a big plus, because if they had lost Rajasthan also, then they would not have had anything in the heartland. Chhattisgarh is there, it's a smaller state. It's also a bit away from the real heartland to that extent. Also, it's really not a large state. It's not a medium-sized state. It's a small-sized state. States that send less than 20 MPs to Lok Sabha. Now, when this split of sorts took place, a split in the party did not take place in Rajasthan, but a split within the party took place. A split in the party in the sense that one section did not go away and become a regional party or join the BJP, but within itself, the party was divided. So Sachin Pilot was sitting outside the system, not holding any position. His MLAs were also sitting outside, sullen. So this was a time bomb. This was a time bomb. At some point, there was always a danger that Sachin Pilot and his people could run out of patience. Also, Ashok Gehlot, who's the chief minister, who's now 72, will be 74 by the time the election takes place. He wasn't quite reaching out to accommodate anybody. So you had a situation where it looked like Rajasthan was frozen in terms of governance. So the chief minister himself was holding about 36 or 37 portfolios. Think about it. Now he has, about six left now, because he's given the rest away. By the way, he still kept home and finance with him, the two things that matter, and home means intelligence. And you would also recall that scandal when it was discovered that Rajasthan Police, a special operations group of Rajasthan Police, was also tapping the phones of many of these rebel MLAs, etc., who had gone away to the resort. Now, he's been cut to size. Gehlot has been cut to size. What High Command did, Congress High Command, they got every MLA to resign. It's an old trick. The Congress Legislature Party passed a one-line resolution authorizing Sonia Gandhi, the party president, to decide on who the new ministers will be. That decision was taken, and the new cabinet has major differences from the last one. First of all, it has at least five of Pilot's loyalists. These five loyalists also include two who had earlier been very critical of Gehlot and who Gehlot had sacked. So to that extent, he's had to swallow his pride that these are the two ministers I sacked. I'm now taking them back. That's a bit like, say, in Punjab, Amrinder was supposed told, you take Sidhu back, maybe as deputy chief minister or something, or accommodate his people, etc. It's a bit like that. And some of that had happened in Punjab. So I will come to that. Now, The other important thing that if you see Rajasthan politics has an east-west kind of divide. When it comes to Western Rajasthan is more the desert areas, the Jaisalmer, Jodhpur, Sirohi, Pali, those districts. That is where Congress is not so strong. Congress did not get that many seats there. That's also Gehlot's area in a way, because he's from Jodhpur. Congress, on the other hand, got more than half of its seats, say of the 102 it won, 57 seats from the 9 districts in East Rajasthan. I'm doing this for East Rajasthan because these districts are closer to Delhi. So that is, say, from Bharatpur to Jaipur, Dausa, these districts. From there, the Congress 57 MLAs out of 102. This region, these 57 MLAs were very poorly represented in the earlier cabinet, Gehlot cabinet, also because some of the people who had gone had not been replaced. So the caste and ethnic and identity balance in the cabinet was all topsy-turvy. For example, for the past 2 years, Rajasthan did not have a Dalit minister. It did not have a Dalit minister. It had 3 Vaish or Baniya ministers. Now, Baniyas are not necessarily Omas, Congress party's voters. Baniyas are default BJP voters. So why are you giving positions to others? Whereas tribals, mostly it's the Meenas and Bhils and others in Rajasthan, tribals, scheduled castes, backward castes and others who vote for the Congress party, they were not accommodated. So that balance has now been restored. In the new cabinet now, there are 4 Dalits and there are at least 3 Meena tribals. So that balance gets restored because this cabinet is more oriented towards the party's own vote banks. This, however, will not settle the problem of internal rift or strife in the Congress party. Because what has the Congress High Command done? Congress High Command has in some ways repeated what they did in Punjab. And how they've done it, please read the article by D.K. Singh, our political editor. I'm sharing a link with you. And he explains it. He says that Congress party, that Rahul and Priyanka are repeating the same mistake in Rajasthan that they made in Punjab. And how does he explain this? He says that in Punjab, first of all, there were these ministers who were constantly criticizing Amrinder Singh while being in the cabinet, including Channi and before that Sidhu, etc. The High Command supported them and they carried on. Then they accommodated Sidhu, made him the PCC chief, right? So what that did was it weakened Amrinder Singh, an incumbent chief minister. It weakened him, drove him to a corner. At the same time, it did not strengthen Sidhu that much because the party was getting divided. So ultimately, you were left in a situation in Punjab which neither helped Amrinder nor Sidhu nor the Congress party. And now that situation there has got even more complicated with Modi government withdrawing the farm bills and Amrinder Singh going out and launching his own party. Now, if his party finds a little bit of momentum or a little bit of tailwind and he joins in with BJP, who knows, tomorrow there can be a 3-way alliance between him, Shiromani Akali Dal and the BJP. So BJP then brings the Hindu vote, which usually in Punjab is transferred to the Congress party, and these two parties, Amrinder Singh and the Akalis together, can get a bunch of the Sikh votes. So Sikh vote can then get divided. So that is a mistake that Congress does not want to repeat in Rajasthan. But it looks like D.K. Singh thinks that they may be headed that way. Why? Because why did Sachin Pilot resign earlier? Why did he rebel? He was deputy chief minister. He was PCC chief, right? What else did he want? He wanted only one thing. He wanted to be chief minister. Because in Indian politics, besides prime minister, there is only one more prize. And that is to be chief minister. Nothing else matters. We keep repeating this to you. We are a country where only 3 institutions have the power: DM, CM, PM, right? So CM is where all the power is. So he wanted to be CM. Even now, he's not the CM. There is no public commitment to him to become CM. Now, we do understand that there is an assurance that once the Punjab and UP, etc. state elections are over, there will be a changeover in Rajasthan. Because if Congress party has to try to win the state back in 2023, do they want to do it with Gehlot? One, because they know that twice in the past, He's failed to win a second majority after ruling a full term. So do they expect him to be third time lucky, or do they make a change? If they make a change, do they make a change 3 months or 6 months before the elections, as has happened in Punjab? Or do they make this change much earlier, which means immediately after UP, Punjab, etc. elections? Also, do they really want to go in 23 polls with somebody who's been chief minister so many times and who's now, who will at that point be 74 years old? Now, Congress party there, Congress high command has a challenge. The challenge is when you see your politicians, veterans getting old and you want them to move on, right? Congress party, because they are not in power in Delhi, they don't have the usual sinecure that a national party would give these guys, which is to make them governors. Congress party can make nobody governor. BJP does that, right? So Congress party, even if it puts them in a Margdarshak Mandal, it really doesn't do very much for them. So Congress has to find a way of sending these very senior people into something else, away from direct power, some kind of glorified retirement, by finding some respectful sinecures for them. That they are not doing. And that is the reason Amrinder's departure was managed in a very ungraceful manner. And certainly, Congress party would not want to do that with Ashok Gehlot in Rajasthan also. Because unlike Amrinder in Punjab, Ashok Gehlot may not command some vote bank. But again, it will split the party in the state just a year and a half before the next assembly elections. On which note, I shall conclude, but tell you a story. And the story is about not Sachin Pilot, but Sachin Pilot's late father, Rajesh Pilot. And I take you back to 1981 for when I met Rajesh Pilot. He wasn't even an active politician by then. Maybe a little bit of dabbling here and there. He didn't hold any office, no nothing. Now, in 1981 January, I was sent to cover the Northeast for the Indian Express. So when I went from Chandigarh to Shillong, right? When you traveled in the 70s, 80s, some of you might remember, or parents might remember, so ask them. We used to carry hold alls, right? Hold all, jisko hum bistar band bhi bolte hain. So hold all, where you rolled up your quilt and your mattress and your blankets and etc. etc. And the corners you put in a little bit of other stuff. And then rolled it up like this, tied it with belts, and somebody carried it for you. A porter carried it for you, usually for train journeys. And we had also presumed that I was taking the train from Delhi to Guwahati and then etc. etc. It so happened that just when I was coming, Arun Shori, who was our executive editor in the Express, he said, you are not taking a train, you will take a flight, right? And I was taken aback because, you know, reporters were not allowed to fly those days. So I took my first commercial flight when I was going to the Northeast. So IC489 it used to be. I took it from Delhi, and those days it used to go Delhi, Lucknow, Patna, Bagdogra, Guwahati, Imphal, like that. Now, if you're going on a flight, obviously you can't take a hold all. So I left my hold all behind. Now the question was in Chandigarh, what to do with the hold all? And I think the family was concerned, how will I sleep? What will I do? I don't have my bistra with me, right? So in the house where we lived in Chandigarh, we lived in a tiny annex on top of the garage. But downstairs in the main house, an Air Force pilot was living. A wing commander in the transport wing of the Air Force. He used to fly AN-12. So he told my wife, he said, don't worry. Every week we have an AN-12 going to Guwahati. That's called Assam Courier, because they take stuff that has to be delivered in Assam and bring back from there. So when the next Assam Courier goes, I will go on it, right? And I will take this hold all there and I will leave it in Air Force Station Guwahati, and Shekhar can pick it up. Right? So, sure enough, that hold all reached Air Force Station Guwahati, and I got a call from the commander of the helicopter unit, HUS, the Air Force calls it, saying, bhai, aapka ek bistar band pada hua hai, there's a hold all lying for you. Whenever you come in, you can collect it, you can call us and you can collect it. Now, it so happened that once I traveled there, I realized that I was staying in hotels or guest houses or whatever, and I didn't quite need that hold all. So, that hold all kept sitting in the Air Force base for months after that. And then we got a house in Shillong and rented it and bought our own furniture and stuff. So we didn't need the hold all. So it was still lying there. So one day I get a call on my, obviously, landline. We only had landlines those days, in 90, towards the end of 1981, saying that, bhai, my name is Rajesh Pilot. I used to be in the Air Force. So I was in Guwahati and I was in the Air Force mess. And somebody mentioned to me that your hold on is lying there. And I was coming to Shillong. So I thought, I'm coming to Shillong. I have a car. I'll bring it and I'll come deliver it to you. Also, we'll get to know each other and you give me a cup of tea. So that is how Rajesh Pilot came to our house with my hold all. And we got to know each other. It became a friendship that lasted a very long time. Unfortunately, cut short by his tragic accident and premature death. Now, just to tell you to close the story of the hold all, we never needed the hold all. When I came back from the Northeast to Delhi to join India Today magazine in the summer of 1983, late summer of 1983, that hold all had still not been opened. And it was lifted and put like that on the truck, in the back of the truck that was bringing our stuff. So that is my little story of the hold all and my friendship with Rajesh Pilot.